Dad's first song will be number two. If you're in a song, singing in a songbook, it's "We Praise Thee, O God." I'll be singing the first and last stanzas. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. The next song tonight will be number 867, 867. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. I'll be leading the first and last stanzas. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. Dear friends, there'll be no sad farewells, there'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. Where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land, where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand, and the soul never dies. Dear friends, there'll be no sad farewells, there'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. Where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul never dies.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings you've given us today. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and worship your name. Please be with the people who need you most in this world, God. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'll be reading from Acts 4, 19 and 20. Acts 4, 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than man, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard."
Good evening. One thing I like to do is play baseball. You know, when your coach always reminds you about something called muscle memory, he continually tells you about this developed is every time you put on your glove or pick up your bat. He continually tells me about this concept is developed in consistent repetition and practice and shows in every game. Every day when we throw the baseball, he is continually reminding me the correct ways of throwing the baseball. When we take batting practice, he is continually reminding us how to grip the bat and the importance of keeping our elbow up. Even when we are fielding the ball, he is demonstrating the proper technique of fielding the ball. We do all of this in baseball because the coach knows when we prepare our minds for the correct ways of playing the game, our actions will most likely line up with where we have set our minds. If I've learned anything playing baseball, it is that remembering is a pretty big part. As I continue to grow, I'm consistently faced with this reality in every area. It doesn't matter if it's in obedience to my parents, in my classes, to remember concepts or facts, or even in my spiritual growth as I study God's Word. The truth is, remembering is a major part of life and something God intends for all of His followers to practice. Throughout the Bible, the word remember or remembrance is found over 240 times, both in the Old and New Testaments. Obviously, this is a pretty important topic to God, and thus it should be to us as well. The event that stands out to me the most when it comes to remembering is when God rescued the children of Israel from Egyptian captivity by the way of the 10 plagues. It was the last of the plagues when God required the Israelites to place the blood of the Passover lamb above their doorpost and on their door, so that the angel of the Lord would not kill their firstborn. It is this event known as the Passover that serves a yearly reminder throughout the Old Testament of God's care and ability to save his people. When considering this, it is very important and clear to God that he has always wanted us to be a remembering people. While there is no way I could bring to all your mind that God intends for us to remember, I'd like to offer you, especially those of us who are younger, two areas where God wants us to practice remembrance. Number one, would you please turn to me to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. It says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil day come, and the year draws near, and the pleasure in them." When my parents are trying to force me into doing something I'm not supposed to, I need to remember my Creator and why not need to do that. Just like in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." When we surround ourselves with people who are also trying to remember our Creator, we're being successful in doing so. By the way we live our lives, we're remembering our Creator by doing right. I can remember my Creator by putting God first in my life. When I do what God has commanded, by putting him first in my life, that means he comes before my parents, my school, my friends, whatever. Making God my number one shows I remember my Creator. Turn to me to Matthew 16:9. It says, "Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 of how many baskets you took up?" God wants us to remember his power because if we are tough enough, if we're in a tough situation, we can remember how strong God really is and make that come first over everything else. Another scripture we can look at is Exodus 14:31. And it says, "Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." This shows the great powers that God has by the people of Israel. How can this help us by listening to God's word and letting him control how you go throughout your day? In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, "And when he had given thanks and broke it and said, 'Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We gather every Sunday with the Lord's church as a part of our worship. We observe the Lord's Supper, remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do this weekly, following the example laid out for us in Acts 20, verse 7. By doing so, it only makes me understand how important remembering truly is as we strive to live for God daily. In baseball, my coach expects the team to remember all the drills, signs, and various details involved in playing the game. The desire for all the players is to be mentally prepared for any situation that may come up. When it comes to following Jesus, the same can be said for us. The only difference is we're not playing a game. Our souls depend on us remembering both our Creator and his power as we walk through this life. Just as my coach wants me to be able to put all the pieces together when it comes to playing the game, God desires for you and I to remember what he accomplished through Jesus and truly live for him daily.
Our first song tonight will be number 611, 611, Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Our next song tonight will be number 915, 915, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above, while the light from the throne shines for you and me.
Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear, call of love.
The next song tonight will be number 452, 452, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And with the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus.
Invitation song at the appropriate time will be number 911. 911. And right now we're going to sing number 615. He Keeps Me Singing. We'll sing the first and last verses. And if you would, please stand.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky.
I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Good evening. How good is it to be told by a friend, relative, or someone you're close with the simple phrase, I love you? These are very strong words. For most people, these three words, I love you, will instantly make their day better, put a smile on their face, and will brighten their mood immediately. Well, if this is the case, when people here on earth tell you they love you, how does it make you feel when you think of God's love for you and me? Even as sinners, our Lord and Savior loves us dearly. But why? Why does our lone Creator love us the way he does when we are the reason that he was put up on that cross? This question can be answered in the very nature of God himself. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it mentions in the verse that God is love. Not only does God love, love is part of his essential nature. Love is who God is, therefore he cannot but love. We as Christians must understand how much our God loves us. We can ask the question, do we deserve his love? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it states, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Also in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We weren't even born yet, and God was already at work to provide a way for us to spend eternity with him. In John chapter 14, verse 3, it states, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In this verse, Jesus notes that he is preparing a place for those who love him, where he will dwell in his presence forever. There are limitless expressions of God's perfect unconditional love for us. One of these is the very simple fact that God created us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it states, for by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. As sinners and as people who constantly make mistakes on a daily basis, we may not think we deserve God's ever so grateful love. But to God, every person whom he has created through the history of mankind is deserving of his love, despite our transgressions and iniquities. We may also ask another question. How does God reveal his love for us? He reveals his love for us by sustaining our lives. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it states, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it states, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in last time. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul states, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. God has revealed his love for us through sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to provide salvation for those who believe. As earlier mentioned, John chapter 3, verse 16, talks about God giving his only son to give an eternal life, to give us an eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we can see, his salvation provides inexpressible joy. God reveals his love through salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 teaches us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is a free gift sent from God to those who receive it, an expression of love that includes an everlasting life with the Savior. God reveals his love through the calling and gifts he has given us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reads, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it states, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." God reveals his love by making believers part of God's family. As 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 declares, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And finally, God reveals his love for believers, particularly by preparing an eternal home with him in heaven. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, as earlier mentioned, it promises, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." There are many other additional examples that could be provided to show how God loves us, but the only adequate reason to explain why God loves us is found in his very nature. He is love, and his love for us is created as his created beings, ultimately brings glory to his name. With the conclusion of this message, I want to challenge everyone in this room, including myself, to be a loving and helping Christian to those around us. There are many people in this world today. There are many people in this world today who need to hear God's word. There are people who need to hear God say the simple phrase, "I love you." If you know someone who needs God's mercy, salvation, and love, then reach out to them. Show them that you care and that God cares. At the same time, if there is anybody here who isn't right with God, he would love to make it right with you right now. If someone here is struggling with something and you need help, please don't push it off any longer. Life is too short to keep things waiting. If anybody here has a response to God's calling, make tonight the night. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you come now as together we stand and sing?
Needs to take the Lord's Supper at this time and may be dismissed. And while they're making their way out, we'll sing one verse of a closing song, number 916. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the house.
and shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son dying on the cross for our sins. Please be with the sick and the poor and everybody else who needs your help, and the people in the hospital. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.